Hi.
Hello, hello.
Don't have any picture for you, John.
Do you what?
Oh, I see you now. Yeah.
I'm
There
here.
now. Yes, hi.
Hello, hello.
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 That's Keith, right?
Yeah, just as always.
All right.
Okay. Hi, Keith.
Hello there.
Yes. We couldn't quite bring your guardians along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I have forgotten your name. I'm so sorry about that. I can change
Renee.
It in your box.
Mm-hmm. Renee.
It's Renee. Okay. It's Renee. Yeah.
Okay. R-E-N-E-E, right? R-E-N-E-E? Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have another participant. Huh?
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, John, I was thinking about what we see when we look out. Do we see only what we believe? Or do we see that when we know it's illusion, we just see it as illusion? Or are we seeing only our level of consciousness, like the way Jesus saw was through the world of appearances? At least that's what it would seem to me, that he was able to see beyond the withered arm, to see the whole arm. He didn't see the woman in adultery. He saw her soul. So do you see perfection in the sense through the illusion of separation? Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
I understand. When you know yourself in a real sense, you see the five elements in various forms appearing before you. That's it. I mean, you cannot deny that there are things to be seen, but it's not anything individualistic. It's the five elements that are being animated by that same presence that you are. So you're not, and again, that's Maharaj would say this in a different way. He would say, stay with the seer and not with the seen. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, it's just five elements.
Yeah.
No particular somebodies that are doing anything, or, you know, different levels of awareness of different people or anything like that, because you know yourself in a real sense. It's five elements. And you're formless, therefore these five elements are appearing within your own self. So they're all your own self. Like, again, waking up from a dream, you know, during the dream, it may very much appear that you're separate, that there's dialogue going on. You know, people dream of being chased by people or falling or something like this. And all of this, when you wake up, you know, it's within your own self. No matter what kind of conversation you had, no matter how scary the people were in your dream, or how happy the people were in your dream, or how sad the people were in your dream, when you wake up, you know, it could not have been a separate something. There was no, the dialogue, I was the speaker, I was the listener. There was no separation, and I didn't understand that until I awoke on the other side of this dream. So when you know yourself in a real sense, you will understand there's no speaker, no listener. When you look out through your form eyes, you see a form-based existence. And the forms are the five elements in different various forms, and they are being created and destroyed constantly, or deteriorating and growing and deteriorating, you could say. Or if you're getting into it, you could say born and die, because the body form, I guess you could say, is born. It comes out from the body factory and is this lump of goo, which then grows through food that it eats and water that is provided. And so the five elements are doing what they do. And that's why there could be disturbance in the five elements, as easy as there is when it has a snowstorm or a windstorm or a tornado or a tsunami. Same sort of thing. If you're identified with a particular body form, then you'll say, oh, all this bad stuff is happening in the world. Mm-hmm. If you know yourself in a real sense, there's literally just a bunch of lumps of goo, all believing themselves to be separate. And at one time you believe yourself to be separate, but knowing yourself in a real sense is the same as waking up in your dream on the, you know, in the morning. You say, oh, wow, that was kind of weird. But everything that occurred, the story that was written, the dialogue, the action, the movement, the sun, the moon, the whatever may be occurring within your dream, came in your spontaneous presence, projection. And so when you say, what do you see? When you know yourself in a real sense, you see elemental activity. And then in the Hinduistic way of saying it, they say sattva, raja, and tamas, because this energy is either active, believing and taking credit for the energy's actions as a separate sense of doership, or the sattvic, which is just remaining with your selfless self. It's just a very subtle nothing. And even the sattvic, you are not, because these are, again, states or layers on your spontaneous presence.
So levels of consciousness is still separation.
Well, there is no levels of consciousness. There's just consciousness, so to speak. There's the formless presence and the projections that are occurring because of the knowledge of existence, which the consciousness creates, just as it does in your dream. There are not different levels of dream consciousness. There's just one formlessness in which all this form is appearing. And in the waking state, there is one formlessness in which all this form is appearing. And you are that to whom this formlessness has appeared and is playing with the five elements for a time. Mm-hmm. But again, waking up on the other side in the morning, you say, oh, none of that could have been true. It seemed very true. I was identified with a little dream body, doing little dream activities, even speaking to little dream people. Mm-hmm. But all the conversations, there was no speaker, no listener. There was absolutely nothing other than myself, formlessly, and all these forms were created within that dream consciousness. Now, when you know yourself in a real sense, you say, oh, so all of this is within myself. Even this body I appeared to be, or that I believed myself to be for a long time, probably, you know, long association with the body, you say, oh, this is me. But this me that you are is the formlessness in which all these other appearances are appearing and disappearing.
So you know what is not. What doesn't really have being, because
anything that could be known is not. And even the sense of presence. The sense of presence is sort of the first sort of subtle reality, but it's not real. Reality is reality, and anything other than reality is illusion.
But because we have these bodies, we can use them to sense presence.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's why Maharaj says it's a golden opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So then I end up getting the idea that presence is doing something, you know.
Well, presence is like space, more subtle than space, because space appears within presence or on presence or however you want to describe it. You can't really say on or in. When we start using words, we get lost. And then it'll say, oh, well, that's not how it's said. And that's why Maharaj says, don't listen like, oh, Ramana Maharshi says this, Nisargadatta Maharaj says this, and Siddharmeshwar Maharaj says this, because no words can really be used that are real. So each expression tries to convey the reality using words, because of course, if we just all sat and stared at each other for a long time, it'd be like, well, there was no, well, But in using words, then you can know this and investigate for your own self. Once you know yourself in the real sense, you'll be beyond the words. And then words that are spoken, even what, no matter what religion is spoken, you'll say, oh, that's what they meant. You know, that's what that great teacher or this Jesus or Buddha or whomever, that's what they meant when they said this, because they were trying desperately to express the reality that they were directly experiencing. But without you directly experiencing it in that particular form, it's foreign, which is why we have nice books that say, you know, don't do this and do this and all this sort of stuff, because people listened to these that knew themselves in a real sense speaking, trying to describe the reality and look at it as, oh, this person is very wise. I must write these things down. So-and-so said this, and then he said this about this. This doesn't make a lot of sense, so I'm going to interpret it based on my belief that I'm a body in a world, and so is that person who was speaking. And thus, you have all the various religions popping up.
Right.
And you can cut all that, because prior to beingness, no religion. When you clicked with the body, when you came along with the body, when you started to experience the form-based existence, the illusory world, then you started to know so many things, because there were so many things to be known, just like in your dream. You'd fall asleep tonight in your dream, there's going to be a lot of stuff to know, a lot of things to see, a lot of stuff to do, probably even a lot of people to talk to, but it's all illusion. And when you wake up in the morning, you really won't have wasted your time. But at the same time, you'll know that nothing that occurred within that dream is true.
And the waking dream is a long dream.
It's the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While you have this body form available, you're able to dream. Or actually, you're able to have a telescope inside the dream that you're dreaming. Then you're not actually, like, you, the individual self, is not, there's no individualization. So there is a bunch of form, five elemental telescopes looking inside the dream that you that you are, is dreaming by knowing your sense of existence and creating from this consciousness, a appearance of things and things to be known, and even a knower that knows things. while you're thinking yourself to be separate, you'll want to think about how you're separate and how you're at your oneness and how you relate to this world and what your part in this world is and what was your life meant to be. And all these sort of things, when you identify with the body and you believe I am somebody else.
Funny thing about oneness, that if oneness is true, it's not your oneness, it's oneness of, you know, beyond individuality.
Well, beyond the word oneness, because oneness, whatever said one, then created two, because there's a counting of something, me and something else.
But it
oneness, I'm one with everything, but there is no everything, so you are just one. But there's no need to say you're one when you're one. Mm-hmm. Only when you believe yourself as something do you need to say, I am one. That's why they give the example of the 10th man. All the monks, they're swimming across the river. And they're all very sad. Oh, my God, we lost one. One of our brothers has drowned and died. And this is so terrible. And then a guy comes and he hits each one on the head. Boom. You see this? Because you're not counting yourself. You are counting everybody else, and you're forgetting yourself. So then immediately you think that somebody has drowned. It's not true. But by identification with something separate, everything is not true. The moment you know you exist, illusion appears, or you can call Maya, or whatever you want to call it. There is no Maya, there is no illusion. Even to say illusion is kind of funny, because illusion is that which is not. And yet we spend great efforts describing this thing that is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I could sort of see where I'm very tempted to use the word oneness, because it seems to be the best word to apply at the moment, but actually,
nothingness is the best word. Nothing. That's why you can cut. There's nothing. And then, of course, from a body-based perspective, you say, what do you mean by nothing? What is nothing? How this nothing is. But again, illusion is that which is not.
At least it's not explainable in terms of this and that.
Nothing. Neither is reality, but we still spend a lot of time and effort trying to explain it, because again, and that's why Maharaj says, when you know yourself in a real sense, that's it. You're at your final destination. There's no more need to know. There's no more need to go out to different teachers or gurus or do anything, because it's over. Game over. You are that.
I was getting a sort of a sense of that this morning when I woke up. And this happened to me a while back. I could see a difference between, or I could see the sameness or no difference between deep sleep and being awake. It was like there was no really distinguishing characteristics of the two so-called states there, and it was beyond words. The first word that came to my mind was oneness, but it was present. So one, it didn't matter what word you use to it. It was just no other. There is no other than what was present. So no other sort of fits the same as nothing.
Yeah, the absence of everything except yourself. Where all experience ends, there you are. That's how Maharaj would say it.
But it's not my individual.
Well, again, when there's the absence of everything, you are. Because when there's the appearance of something, you are there for that appearance to appear. If you were not there, there'd be no appearance. And if there was, there'd be, like, that's that knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. Well, somebody has to be there to say nobody's there. So the absence of everything, or where all experience ends, there you are. The experience of being something, the experience of experiencing even the experience of experiencing nothingness. That's why, again, Maharaj says, no experience, no experiencer. No witness, no witnesser. Because while you're in this body form, you can create the concept of a witness, but the truth is, you're more like the space in the room than you are the body form that is creating the concept of a witnesser witnessing. The space is not witnessing what's going on inside of itself. Or another way to say is the body form is the telescope that appear that can peer into the dream. Much like when you dream at night, you have a body form, which you're seeing the dream. If you had no body form and you dreamt, you wouldn't know that the dream was even occurring, but there may still be a dream, but you're not actually seeing the dream. You don't have a telescope within the dream. And when this body falls, this dream continues. We know this because all of us have seen body forms expire. And it didn't just whoosh, wipe out the entire. So, like if we say, okay, Maharaj has experienced himself, his selfless self. So that means when, and he is dreaming all these people. So when his body form expires, the world ends, like for all of us. Because Maharaj knew himself in a real sense and he's no longer using the body form. But this is not true because there's no individuality. The dreamer is dreaming the concept of duality. And that dreamer is your own self, but not the self that you appear to be, but the self that you actually are.
Yeah, it occurred to me that people are dying all the time.
Not people. Body forms are deteriorating, much like a plant that if you put it on the table and you don't water it or you give it too much sun, it deteriorates. And it's the five elements that are dissolving back into the five elements. All bodies do this, whether it be pig, human,
it doesn't affect
fish,
the reality. It doesn't affect the reality.
No.
At all.
No.
So I have a question regarding that.
Yes.
I worked in a morgue and I've also been in healthcare and seen a lot of dead people. And I pretty much agree with what you're saying in regards to physical body at death. I have had an exception in that I saw, this is in somebody that was sleeping though, actually not dead. When I walked into the room, I saw what looked like an etherical body floating above the bed of the person that was sound asleep. Now, being a nurse, I kind of screamed because I thought the person had passed and that I was seeing something, and the person actually was sleeping and woke up. So how do you, is that all an illusion also, what I'm seeing?
Oh, yes. I mean, anything that can be seen, experienced, known, it's all taking place within the bubble of illusion. So,
yeah, because I can sense that when they're dead. I mean, I feel like it's all an illusion. You know, people go through this process with people that are dying, and I feel like it's all an illusion to me. It's like watching a show or something, just observing. But that was the only time that I kind of got freaked out a little bit.
Well, and that's how, like Maharaj says, in meditation, you may have amazing experiences. You may see the God, you may see Master, whatever, but just know that it's all illusion.
Okay.
You know, you may look at someone and see an aura and be like, wow, that's amazing that I see this aura. But also you may do this in your dream.
Yeah. I was wide awake. So that's why it freaked me out. And I've been doing this for 40 years and never seen anything. I haven't had any supernatural, ghost, poltergeist, any kind of, except this clear etherical body that was floating above a person. And it looked like he was looking around in the room. That's like he was conscious. And then it just freaked me out. So but that's all But that's all fluff goo also, probably.
Well, I mean, it's an experience, but like all experiences, they come and go. And the main thing is that, you see, your imagination is creating this entire world. Not Renee, but the you that you are. So for miracles to appear, or even like, you know, how they saw people raised from the dead and all this sort of thing, yes, it's quite possible, because this is within the illusion and the imagination of the beingness projecting.
Of the beingness.
Is imagining everything, you know, imagining skyscrapers being built. You know, there's someone sitting there and saying, oh, I'm going to build this skyscraper. Thoughts are coming, but it's not an individual thought. And then the body form is put into action, and a skyscraper is created. So there is a creation from nothing. And no matter how much, you know, because there were people who were meditating in the ashram who said they saw like Nisargadatta Maharaj and Balsed Maharaj when they're meditating. Okay, this is nice, but it's really nothing. I mean, this is a nice experience, but the reality is, it's just projection on your spontaneous presence. When you know yourself in a real sense, there just can't be anything other than illusion. And yeah, the presence in this body, if it were to leave right now, boom, this is a dead body. And we burn or bury it, like Maharaj says, and it's finished. And we all say, oh, maybe we have a little ceremony. Oh, John, or, you know, whoever, very sad and all this. But that's only because of our own conceptual understanding that someone has died. But when you know yourself in a real sense, it's not possible for someone to die, because no one was born. Mm-hmm. Five elemental forms are created in a body factory. Pigs get to together and make pigs. Dogs get together and make dogs. Humans get together and make humans. Five lumps, or lumps of five elemental goo that then get water and food and water and food. And then presence that has no knowingness suddenly knows itself as something separate and thinks it's the body form, which is the first knowledge of knowingness. But in reality, it's like the space. If this body was an empty shell, and the space suddenly was in it, it would wake up and see a room and see objects within itself, not knowing that it is itself. It would assume, because I'm something, there are other somethings. There's a table, because I'm told by mom and dad, this is a table, this is a cup. These are things that you can use because you are a doer. Of course, they don't say you are a doer, but they reinforce the actions done by the body as if they are yours, and you create a sense of doership as a doer doing actions. In reality, the space in which all these actions are occurring is your own self. The body is an appearance from the five elements, and the power and the energy is coming from the space, with the understanding that I'm something, something separate that can move and talk and learn, and there are other separate objects. And then mom and dad stamp that label on the body. My son, my daughter. Oh, this is my mom, my dad. Then when the body form can no longer sustain the essence, we say, oh, mom and dad have died. It's very sad. And okay, you can, because you're not a robot. And as Maharaj says, their emotions come up, okay, but you know, deep down you know, even at your mom's funeral, you know, there's no birth, there's no death. You don't have to go around the funeral telling that, because you'd never be invited back to any kind of family function ever again. Oh, don't worry, mom wasn't born, she's not dead, it's just a lump of goo sitting in that coffin. No, but you know deep down inside, because you know yourself in a real sense.
There's no purpose other than to wake up. The only purpose of this manifestation is an opportunity to wake up.
No, not even that. What's the purpose of your dream?
Well,
every night you have a different dream and created.
You're using these bodies. We're using these bodies to recognize the selfless self. So isn't that a purpose?
I mean, because you have this body, it's a golden opportunity to know yourself in a real sense, but I wouldn't say it's a purpose because, again, every night you dream an entire dream world. What's the purpose of all the people in it? Truly. When you wake up, the entire dream world is gone.
That's the illusion.
Exactly. When the illusion is gone, it's gone. There's no... When the body form, when this telescope ceases functioning, it's just like I have a telescope, you're my neighbor, you have a telescope. My telescope breaks. I can no longer see the stars. You're still seeing the stars. But it's only one that's seeing these stars in which the experience of existence, the bubble of illusion, the five elemental world is moving about. When the space in the room ceases to occupy this body, where does it go? Even to say you're leaving the body is not really true because it's like they talk about the jar, the space inside the jar and the space outside the jar. If you break the jar, is the space inside the jar leaving the jar? It's space, presence. It's not going anywhere.
Which you are.
The body is more like within you than you are within it. Even though we say the presence in the body or the spirit, the power, the energy moving the body, but it's more like, that's why Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space. Because there's no like, okay, space leaves this body, just like the breath. I breathe in, it's my air. I breathe out, now it's everybody else's air. The air has no idea that it's my air or your air. That's the first thing. And the air really isn't separated by this body form. It's everywhere, space. Going back to the analogy, and they use it in all the spiritual texts, pretty much it's like, okay, this jar and the space in the jar and the space outside the jar, it's the same. Or as Maharaj says, the different houses. If we have the walls coming down, does the space in the ashram go to heaven and the space in the toilet go to hell? In whatever building you're living in right now, if it were to just explode, is the space affected at all? No. Now think about the entire world. If the entire world were just to explode, would the space be affected? The space within the world and the space outside the world, would it be affected? Objects appear, play for a time, disappear, and that is the something within the nothing that you are. Directly experiencing your own selfless self, because this body form is available to do so, there can be no illusion. The world doesn't disappear. It just is known that it's a five elemental world that is five elements. Everybody you see is a five elemental conglomeration, a little clay doll, so to speak. Even I think in Christianity, they talk about us all being like the potter and the clay, and they breathe the life into the clay, and then it starts walking around. The presence animates this five elemental lump of clay and moves it about. And then when this body is no more, it's burned or buried, dissolves back into the five elements. And Maharaj says it very beautifully, that this body is a rental. Don't get like all hung up and attached to it.
Related to her question about purpose, that kind of reminds me of when a couple weeks ago I said I referred to it, nothing makes any difference because ultimately all is one kind of thing. But actually, and you countered me that it does make a difference. And I think what the difference it makes is to not be fooled by the illusion.
Yeah, just to know yourself in a real sense, the illusion is gone. I mean, there's no longer illusion.
Not a purpose per se, but just a clarity of what's real and what's not, I guess.
Yep. While you're using this body in this form-based existence, you're at peace because you're no longer disturbing yourself with concepts and bothering yourself with imaginary problems and illusory enemies.
And I think what I told you about the experience this morning of dream or deep sleep and aware mental state. I think what I was the prior day, I had been focusing more than usual on the mantra. And I was just able to, you know, a lot of time, most of the time I forget about it. I get distracted all the time, but I was making an extra effort to,
Good.
I think that had something to do with because what the mantra, I think it's like you're doing a mantra, and then that doing reveals that it's not the mantra doing that makes reality. It's like even the mantra is like a false type of being because it's not. Because doing doesn't really have any being. You're doing the mantra, but the mantra doesn't have any being of its own. It's coming from the real.
Well, the you that you are is listening to the mantra running through the body and understanding that I'm none of this. And slowly, silently, and permanently, illusion is being swept away. So the fire is burning, ash is covering the fire. Mantra, slowly, silently, and permanently, reveals the fire or the presence that you are.
Yeah.